गिरिवर धारे जायो गिरिवर धारे गोपीचन बलाबा जायो गिरिवर धारे जायो गिरिवर धारे जयो राधा माधवा जयो कुंजा बिहारी जशोरानन व्रजजनरञ्जन जशोरनन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन जशोरनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन जशोरनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन जमुनाथी रावणाचारी जमुनाथी रावणाचारी जयो राधा माधवा जयो कुंजा बिहारी
जयो विष्णु पार परमहंस प्रिव्रजकाचार्य तथा सत्य श्री श्रीमद His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Nama Acharya, Śrīla Haridas Thakur ki, Prem Segaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Śrī Dvaita Garadhar Śrīvas Arigaura Bhaktivedanta ki, Śrī Śrī Radha Krishna Gau Gopagopinā Śyamakunda Radha Kuni Giri Govardhana ki, Śrī Vrindavan Dhamma ki, Shri Mayapur Dhamma ki, Ganga Mai ki, Jamuna Mai ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Tulasi Devi ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय आदितेर दिष्ठितं गर्भं भगवन्तं सनातनं हिरण्यगर्भो विज्ञाय समिधे गुह्यनामभि आदित्यैर्दुष्टितं गर्भं भगवन्तं सनातनं हिरण्यगर्भो विज्ञानं समिधे गुह्यनामभि आदित्यैर्दिष्टितं गर्भं भगवन्तं सनातनं हिरण्यगर्भो विज्ञाय समिधे गुह्यनामभि Aditehe, into the womb of Aditi, Dishtitam, being established, Garbham, pregnancy, Bhagavantam, under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sanatanam, who is eternal, Hiranyagarbha, Lord Brahma, Vigyaya, knowing this, Samide, offered prayers, Guhyanamabhihi, with transcendental names. Translation. When Lord Brahma understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was now within the womb of Aditi, he began to offer prayers to the Lord by reciting transcendental names. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead exists everywhere. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. Therefore, when one chants his transcendental names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is automatically pleased by such sankirtana. It is not that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is absent. He is present there, and when a devotee utters the transcendental name, it is not a material sound. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is naturally pleased. A devotee knows that the Lord is present everywhere and that one can please him simply by chanting his holy name. Okay, text 25. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all glories unto you, who are glorified by all and whose activities are all uncommon. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, O Lord of the Transcendentalist, controller of the three modes of nature. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the all-pervading Lord Vishnu, who have entered the cores of the hearts of all living entities. All the three worlds reside within your navel, yet you are above the three worlds. Formerly appeared as the son of Prishni, to you the Supreme Creator, who are understood only through Vedic knowledge, I offer my respectful obeisances. O my Lord, you are the beginning, the manifestation, and the ultimate dissolution of the three worlds. And you are celebrated in the Vedas as the reservoir of unlimited potencies. The Supreme Person, O my Lord, with waves of as waves attract branches and leaves that have fallen into deep water, you, the Supreme Eternal Time Factor, attract everything in this universe. Purport. The time factor is sometimes described as Kala Shrota, waves of time. Everything in this material world is within the time factor and is being carried away by the waves of attraction, which represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 28. My Lord, you are the original generator of all living entities, stationary or moving, and you are the generator of the Prajapatis. O my Lord, as a boat is the only hope for a person drowning in the water, you are the only shelter for the demigods who are now bereft of their heavenly position. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 17th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Supreme Lord Agrees to Become Aditi's Son. So the position is that everything is Krishna. There isn't anything that's not. But we see here is that with devotion, then Krishna himself as the person will reveal himself, will appear. Means the person is the origin. From him is expanding all his energies and all his features. So the Paramatma and Brahman aspect are expanding from the person. But he only reciprocates according to how we surrender to him. So devotees then surrender to the form of the Lord, to the personality, to his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes. Therefore, he reveals himself in that way. For the yogis, he is only seen as Paramatma, because they don't see any more than that. To the others, then he's Brahman, whether you understand him as transcendence, or you just think he's material energy. But in any case, these are the features in which he interacts with the devotees. So then here, because of the devotion of the Aditi, then he's appearing as the personality of Godhead. And that aspect then we see because of the devotion, they'll interact with devotion as the pastime unfolds. You'll see his mother, father, the demigods, all offering various kinds of devotion to him. So that's the principle. Otherwise, if we function on something lower, then he will respond on that lower level. As we see the Lord Brahma's mentioning, is that here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is appearing in the womb, but that Supreme Person is what everything is based on. Right, so that's the specialness, is that even though he is beyond the material creation is based on him, still he can come and take part in these wonderful pastimes with the devotees. So in taking this part, then we see is that the wonderfulness is the attraction. So this attraction to the Lord, then that is perfection. Because then that means we're attracted to the person.
being attracted to the person, then you engage his energy in his service. Right? Now, because he is everything, then if we're not attracted to him directly as a person, we'll be attracted to him in his other features. Because you can't separate the living entity from the Lord. So then our attraction to him will be as the external energy, or as Brahman. So now, how is this going to function? So he, as the time element, then he moves all these things. It becomes attractive. Something static, it's okay. If it moves, it's better. Right? When it moves, that's when the attractiveness is. So Krishna's entered into all the atoms of the 24 elements so that they can be attracted to each other, because he is attraction. There isn't something else of attraction than him. So when he is then there is the potency that attractiveness can happen, then through the waves of time you see the movements of the external. And so then we're attracted. We think we're attracted to the external, but actually we're attracted to Krishna. Right? But unless you see it in connection with Krishna, having come in the parampara, you don't get the benefit of interacting with Krishna on the transcendental platform, because you're not seeing him that way. Right? According to how you deal is how he'll reciprocate. Does that make sense? That's just how it works. It means we may say, no, but we see, you know, just as the causes and the effect, we see even within the material world of cause and effect, the same thing. So you'll see, let's say you have a very, you know, rich or well-known person, right? And you don't know the person, and you're walking down the street, and you don't know where to go, and you see them, and you walk over to them and ask them, can you tell me where this is? And because you're approaching him just as another person on the street, but a person who is, you could ask, you know, it means so many people are there, but they ask you, so that means then they're, you know, seeing your position, okay, you look like you're more cultured or more of a gentleman, so therefore then we'll ask you. And so then they'll tell you, yeah, you go down here, you turn left, and that, like this. So that's all the more they'll reciprocate, because that's all you're dealing with them. Now if the person comes up and starts to ask you, hey, aren't you like this and that, then they may, you know, something interact and then a little bit of something, then tell you where to go. Now if it's a friend or someone who knows them, well, and they come up, oh, what are you doing here like this? Then it's a very different thing. Does this make sense? Same person. But how you interact with them is how they'll respond. So if you don't act as a person, Krishna doesn't respond in that way. So you get the benefit of however you deal with him. So when you deal personally, he responds personally. When you deal simply impersonally, he'll respond that way. But that's just how it works, because he's a person. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole point. So we see here is Lord Brahma is appreciating that and showing all the different features in that he is there. He is Brahman, he is Paramatma, he is the aspect of Kiradakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and Karanadakshaya Vishnu. He's mentioning that all these different features of the Lord are there, and then the Lord is so kind that he comes as a person, the origin of all these. So that is something special. And why is that? Because of the devotion. So when we have this devotion, then we can do something. But when we don't, then if we associate with those who have devotion, or at least more than us, then we'll progress. Because that's the whole point, is the association is what makes it happen. So Lord Brahma is associated with the Lord. Now he can perceive the Lord here, and in this way it goes on. So then Aditi, through the explanation of Kasyapa, who's heard from Lord Brahma, and then she's followed these teachings in the Parampara, now she's getting that benefit. Now we're able to hear then from Sukadeva Goswami as he's spoken, then Suta Goswami, as he's then spoken, as Vyasadeva has given it to us, comes down through the parampara, the acharyas give the purport, and in this way we're able to get this benefit. So it's the same Lord, so same benefit. But as we surrender, he'll reciprocate. That's the point. It's not that, oh no, he's in this form, you can't get more than that. No, that's not how it works. It's that he's one person, and he takes on so many forms to have so many different pastimes and the tastes within those pastimes, but it's still the same person. It's not a different person. So how you deal with him is how he responds. Right? That's how it works. Gopukumar, he's in Vaikuntha with Lord Vishnu. He's there in the court, they're doing all the things, and he's interacting with him like Gopal. And so he reciprocates in that way. But with everybody else, he deals with them as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Right? So that's how it is. It's the same person. It's just that in Vaikuntha, it's like Krishna at the office. It's very formal. You know, it's all done in majesty. But that's the point. So therefore he reciprocates with that because that's how they deal. But Gopukumar is seeing him as Krishna in Vrindavan. So he reciprocates in that way. It's one person. It's not many people. Right? That's just Krishna's ability. He's able to expand, and they're all the same. Why? Because they are the same person. But we have to understand, as it points out, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. He's the original. So it's Braja Krishna who's taking all these forms that taste all the variety of tastes of rasa that there is with the variety of devotees. So, based on this principle, then Aditi, with her devotion, then she is called the Lord. Brahma is coming, offering his prayers, and then we will see in a short time after his appearance, then the demigods will also then interact with him. Like that. Okay. Any questions or comments or anything? Yes. You have this thing, you mean jiggy, but. Thank you.
What were you saying about the waves?
The waves. Mm-hmm. It's Prabhupada is pointing out in this purport that time, the time factor is sometimes described as Kala Shrotra, waves of time. Everything in this material world is within the time factor and is being carried away by waves of attraction, which represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that attraction is the Supreme Lord, and then the time makes that movement in everything that we become attracted. So the point is that attraction is Krishna. We think it's the material energy. That's why it's called Maya or illusion. Because dead matter can't have any attraction for the living entity. But we're thinking, because if we think that it's not Krishna, then it's something I can enjoy. Well, if it's Krishna, that means if it belongs to somebody, you need to use it how that person who it belongs to appreciates. Like if I borrow someone's car, I have to deal with the car how they like it. Does that make sense? That's how it has to work. So seeing the living entity, seeing the workings of Krishna's energy. So the devotees, the pure devotees, they're only interested in Krishna's pleasure. So for them, the movements of the material energy create attraction, not the material energy, but just his energy, creates an attraction to him, the person. It's not an attraction to the things that are moving. Does that make sense? So, but if we take that separate from Krishna, that I like this movement and I can see the benefit in it, the attraction to it, the happiness possibly I could get from it, then that's when we take on material consciousness. So that places us here. Right? So the movement of time, you know, creates all these waves of attraction, but those waves of attraction are Krishna. So to be able to move like that, that's Krishna, that's time. And then the attraction that's there is Krishna. So we're only surrounded by Krishna, but the problem is we think we're surrounded by the 24 elements. right? Which are there, but those don't create any attraction to the living entity. It just doesn't. It's not how it functions. So, because Krishna's in it, that's what makes the attractiveness. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. As far as we study, like Krishna comes with the devotees, his associates, like we call as Devaki, Nandana, Yashoda Nandana. And for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can say that he comes with associates and he is Enya Sangirtana Prayer. Likewise, if we see Lord Buddha and Kapila and Prithu, all are coming with some description with some activities they are doing in this world likewise. So how to understand what about their associates, what about the enjoyer, he is actually an enjoyer. So how the point is coming with those incarnations?
Those means the Shaktivesh. Like,
those means is Buddha and Kapila and Prithu.
Means the Shaktivesh avatars.
So how to understand this?
Means are you understanding that these are jivas who are taking on that position? So they're Shaktivesh. Yeah? So you're wondering how the Shaktivesh avatars, how Krishna's enjoying as opposed to the Vishnu tattva and how being Krishna. Is that? Okay. The point is they're doing the duties of the Lord. And so those duties being done nicely and properly according to what is pleasing to Him, then that's what pleases Him. So that's those souls' service to Krishna is to act on His behalf and do things how He would like them done. Right? But how He would like them done as the Lord, how He would do them. So their service is to do them in that way how He would like it to be done. Does that make sense? And then their associates are whoever it is that they're supposed to be involved with. Because seeing that you're dealing with Shaktivesh, then you're dealing with that aspect of the Shaktis. So then whoever their associates are, then that's what it is. Yeah?
Also it is mentioned that he goes with every living entity.
He goes with every living entity.
He may take a birth among those living entities.
Every living entity or every species?
Species.
Yeah, because every living entity, that says Paramatma, and every species. Yeah, so what's the question there?
So how this Shakti Avesh Avatar...
But all these don't have to be Shakti Aveshas.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of whatever works for him. But the point is if it's Shakti Avesh, it's the same principle as we said. And if it's Vishnu Tattva, then he's just directly dealing with it. So the point is that all these species of life, how they function and everything, is dependent upon the Lord. And then their interaction with other living entities and the environment, that's all according to his energies. That's all by time, like that. Is that okay? Something else? Yes.
We often see that in the pastimes of the Lord, some of the let's say demons, or not only demons but other living entities, when they see the Lord, they don't develop so much attraction for Him, although the Lord is all the source of the all the most attractive person. So how do we understand how do we understand that? Is the Lord respecting his free will of that particular jiva, and or
means, as we said, the Lord reciprocates according to how they see him. So, if there is no devotion, he won't reveal himself except in the way that you're devotedly applying yourself. So for the demons, they only see him as an enemy, so therefore he only reveals himself as an enemy. But you can't say they're not attracted, because Kamsa would think of Krishna 24 hours a day. Right? So that attractiveness is there. But it's not, let's say, in a pleasant way. But because he's always absorbed in thinking of the Lord, he gets the benefit. Right? So that will free him from material entanglement. He'll get liberation. It won't give prema, because prema has to be a positive thing in the way of a positive relationship. But any way that you're thinking of the Lord and connecting something to the Lord will purify you. Right? But since we're interested in pure devotional service, therefore the mixed elements for us will be used in the beginning when we don't have that purity, but they're never seen as the standard process. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, I have a particular thing I like to eat, but it's not really so much of a recommended thing. You know, it's just some preparation that I like. But it's offerable to Krishna. Right? But it's not something that necessarily he or anybody else really likes. Right? So, you're offering to Krishna, you're seeing connection to Krishna, you're getting purified. Right? And that you see that aspect, so the purification will be going more quickly, but the development of the devotion, that'll be going slowly, because the reason you're cooking this or eating this is for yourself. But because Krishna's involved, you're purified and it's connected to him. You will advance. You know what I'm saying? So, this idea that you can connect anything and use anything in Krishna's service, that's an integral part of our philosophy. Right? But seeing anything and everything according to ourselves and not Krishna, that's not considered an advanced position. So it's not pure devotion. So it's not what we'll preach. We'll preach pure devotion and we'll accommodate mixed devotional service. We don't preach mixed devotional service. So those who do and say that mixed devotional service is the same as pure devotional service, or even maybe better because it's more honest and it's who we actually are, and all this identification with the external upadis, it's not a very mature position. Right? So the whole point is that we're connecting ourselves to Krishna and we'll always get benefit. And then there's pure devotional service. So that's what Narad Muni is pointing out, is anybody approaching the Lord in any way is going to get benefit. Just see the glories of Hiranyakashipu and all these demons. They're absorbed in Krishna, and because of that, they got liberated. Now that's the highest thing you can, strive for in the material world. Is liberation. You don't get higher than that. It's higher than, you know, going to the heavenly planets and all those things like that. So it's the highest material position you can take. So they get that just automatically. Right? And so if they get so much benefit, then he points out what must be the benefit of those who approach him in devotion, with love, like Mother Jashoda and the residents of Vrindavan. So that's so much greater. So in other words, connecting to Krishna is very fabulous. It's better than anything in the material world, but better than that's pure devotion. Does that make sense? So we have to understand that connection to Krishna, how special that is. And so therefore, that connection just automatically elevates it. But that's not our goal. Our goal is not liberation. Our goal is pure devotional service. So when I do things connected to Krishna, but it's about me, then I'll get those benefits at some point. And I'll make some advancement because of the connection to Krishna. I'll start to become, because of that, knowledge and detachment will come. But the point is until I do that in devotion to Krishna, then I don't really get that benefit of that devotion. You know what I'm saying? That side doesn't get cultivated. The other side, you're getting purified and liberated, that will move forward very nicely. If you use the Vedic Piyat recommendations of materialistic activities, that will move you forward quicker because it's already pious. It has much more power. If we're using non-recommended or, you know, inappropriate or those based on the sinful or modes of passion, ignorance, that's the easier way to put it. In other words, if you follow the recommendations in goodness, that will be a quicker elevation than if we try to take passion, ignorance exclusively and use that in the Lord's service. That'll be slower because it's so much more self-centered. Right? It means if I follow the Vedic recommendation, then yes, it's about me, but I have to follow authority. So there is some aspect of surrender and respect and those things. But if I stick to passion and ignorance, I'm doing this because I like it. Because there is no authority for it. Right? Because I'm going to do it whether anybody else does it or not, or likes it or not. And if I'm really, you know, steeped in social standing, then as the flavor changes, I'll change along with it. I prefer the other one, but I'll change because I want to keep up the status quo. Or if we're super shallow, then whatever is the status quo, that's all that for us is important. So we don't actually have an opinion. So, you know what I'm saying? So the problem is it's just about us and the benefits we'll get. That's why you have to be very, very careful in applying this principle into, okay, we're not from the Vedic culture, therefore we do things differently. Because then the question, who's the we? Because in this case, the we is not the soul. It's the conditioned nature, which you're not in control of anyway. So that means the modes of nature, it means Maya, it means the part of the universal form. So how there's so much identification with something that actually is not you? I'm used to it, I'm comfortable with it, I've been doing it for a long time. So therefore, yes, I'll identify that as me, but it has zero for the soul and will get no benefit for the soul. If I connect it to Krishna in some way, I'll get benefit. But if I don't, I take all the recommended rules and remove them. Because as Westerners, we don't need to follow them. Where's the connection to Krishna at all? Where's the purification? So how can we say it's Yukta Vairagya? In other words, scientifically, we can't prove it. We can't explain it. Because the phrase is an excuse to do whatever I want. Not an opportunity to connect things to Krishna. So we have to be very, very careful about this. And so if we can discriminate between pure devotional service, mixed devotional service, and what's not devotional, in other words, when we can tell what's vidya and avidya, then we can tell what's mixed devotional service. But if you can't tell the difference between vidya and avidya, you can't actually define mixed devotional service. So you won't know if it's devotional service and if it's progressive. So therefore, that's why it's recommended. You just follow what the acharyas give, because we're not so trained. We do what they recommend, it'll work. Well, if we make up our own process, then why are we going to be any more successful than all these other persons, like Rajneesh or, you know, so many others? You know, like that. Materially, they're doing very well. They're respected. They have thousands of followers. I think The Walla from Andhra with the frizzy hair, you know, he had 50 million followers. 50 million. Now that's big. That's bigger than probably a lot of churches in the world. But he'll get zero devotional benefit. Means zero, you know, means we're talking about a big fat zero here. You know? So there's the problem is that yes, you may get some material facilities, but hey, that won't get you anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So this is a problem. So we have to be very, very careful to appreciate that if it's connected to Krishna, there's a benefit. And if it's not connected to Krishna, there's no benefit. And on the spiritual platform. And everything is connected to Krishna, so the demons, they're attracted to Krishna as the material energy. In fact, they're probably more than us. We're just kind of ho-hum, neither too spiritual or very material. They're really materially inclined. You know, so they are actually very attracted to Krishna, but they don't know it's him. You know what I'm saying? And we're at that stage where we're able to perceive that the material isn't working so good for us. And there must be something else. So even though materially that's not a great position, spiritually it is. Right? So that's why it doesn't work so well if devotees in that position then try to get materially and, you know, developed. Because they weren't, that's why they became devotees. These big, big demons, they're, you know, all the nice preaching of Prahlad Maharaj didn't change Hiranyakashipu at all. Because he's so committed to enjoying the material energy. So it's an advantage that we're in the position where we see that material energy is not actually offering anything, and we're open for an alternative. Then coming in contact with the parampara, we see the alternative. Now it's just a matter of committing ourselves to that Krishna consciousness. And because it's the natural position, then the more we are involved, the more we associate with those who are advanced, then the quicker we go, and then the easier it becomes. Like that. So the result you get is so much greater than even these big, big demons. Right? So that's the specialness. Yeah? So don't worry about the demons. And in case you're worried, everybody has that little bit of demon within themselves. So, yeah. So you can cultivate your own inner demon in connection with Krishna. Yeah. So you're not left out. Don't worry. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Can free will be seen as Krishna's energy?
Can people be seen as Krishna's energy?
No, can free will.
Choice. Can free will be seen as Krishna's energy? If it's not Krishna's energy, whose is it then? It's ours, or it belongs to the guy down at the corner store. Or?
He lets Jiva decide for himself. So,
if he lets, where does that letting ability come from?
Right, but
it has to come from Krishna. So all energies come from Krishna. There's no energies that don't come from Krishna. And he controls all his energies, so he's in full control of all the energies. So it's not that he starts something with the energy and then it gets out of control and he can't control it, like the material world. As if we're controlling it, right? Does that make sense? We can make a mess of it, but to control it, that's another thing. Does that make sense? So the point is all the potencies come from Krishna. Now, do we use these potencies in connection to Krishna, in a favorable way to Krishna? Do we use them connected to Krishna, but not necessarily favorable for Krishna, favorable for ourselves? Do we use them according to the laws of nature, not connected to Krishna, but we are willing to follow the laws to get the material benefit? Or we're so proud that we don't even recognize the laws of nature and we just do whatever we want and never get quite what we want? So it means this is the range you can do with your free will. So the point is using it in connection with Krishna, that's the standard. That's what you want to do. So that's what the free will is. It's not that in principle there's anything different. It means we work with the material energy. It works according to the laws. Right? And so these same laws are what's governing things in the spiritual world because it's Krishna's desire, it's Krishna's energy. Does that make sense? You know, it's like, let's say there's basketball. Okay, if I play basketball here in India or I play basketball in America, it's not that the rules are different, right? Just that the people are probably twice as tall and five times as good. But another thing, that's a different, something different, is that the point is that the rules are the same. So therefore, these rules are defined, I mean, they're in pursuance of his desire. So Lord Balaram, as the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, therefore unfolds everything in its mechanical processes and results it can gain and the knowledge required in such a way that is actually pleasing to Krishna. Does that make sense? There's no alternative motive there. So that's being reflected here. So not following the rules means we don't want to use Krishna's energies how he likes it to be used. You know, we may finesse that by, no, but it's, you know, it's not natural or it's not this. What is natural? You know what I'm saying? Let us say children, no matter where they are in the world, basically you see all children like interacting with people. They have that personal thing. They see everything that. If you tell little kids that the sun's a person and the moon's a person, they don't have any problem with it. You know what I'm saying? And you show them how to do that, whatever. Now when they grow up and people don't deal because they're self-centered, then they start to lose faith in relationships, they become skeptical, they become, you know, all these different things. And then they educate themselves and what's going on, so they go to the modern academy. And then they learn all kinds of things and they become proud of their knowledge because they know more than others. And so then you take this academic, you know, this intellectual, liberal, pessimistic kind of flavor and throw in a touch of sentiment if you want. It's a sprinkling. It's okay to do. In other words, it's bona fide. You know, it's just like in the pasta you put some fresh basil leaves or not. It works. It's good. So you can throw in a sprinkling of sentiment as long as it's New Age. Right? So, and the fun part is New Age means it's based on the Vedic sciences. Right? Not the technicore philosophy, just on the sciences. And it may be more directly connected, or it may give it a few, you know, thousands of years until it becomes Egyptian or Gypsy or something else, whatever is your taste. But now we'll say we're just being natural, but how is this natural? This position has been come to by a very unnatural way of not being exposed to Krishna consciousness and therefore not knowing properly, dealing with people that don't know. And so therefore all the proper ways of relationship are destroyed. And now we identify with this secondary form in the way that we've grown up and now say that this is us. How unnatural is that? And the fun part is everybody else sees that, but they don't. And they really try to sell it. And amongst themselves, they think they're doing great. But many others, they think it's a sham. But, you know, being culture, you don't say it. Or if you do say, then this group will respond by the intellectual group that you're not intelligent, you're not cultured, even though they themselves aren't. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the difficulty, is that they're using all these things, but it doesn't make anything different. There's one animal. They go running after another animal, and they may catch them or they may not. Right? But if they catch them, they'll eat them. Okay? So it's not so successful. Now you have other groups of animals. They cooperate together. And they make a plan and a program that this will attack from this side, this one from that side, and so there's no escape for the animal. And so using all this cooperation, teamwork, plans, intelligence, all these different nice qualities that we glorify, what's the end game? They're going to eat the animal. So all they are is sophisticated animals. That's what Prabhupada's talking about. It's not connected to Krishna. It is sophisticated animals. That's it. So, the human form of life has the potential to act as human life. It's different. The form is just the form. Human life means actually application. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, that's then what is being offered. Is yes, we can play around with human form of life and then identify with whatever our background is and try to make it all work. Which it doesn't. Right? Because if there is, wouldn't there just be one book out? You know, the true path of happiness or something? And it would have been figured out by the Greeks 2,000 years ago, and everyone just follows that. You learn that in school. Your parents follow it. They teach it to you. Then you go to school. Your teachers teach you. And everybody's happy, right? Wouldn't that be what's happening? No. It's not happening. Because nobody knows. Because it doesn't work. Material identity for the soul will never end in happiness. So the only way is to identify as servant of Krishna. So being servant of Krishna, I follow Krishna's laws. All right? Now, if in following the laws, there's the principle of the law, that's to please Krishna, and how it connects to Krishna, then there's the secondary attributes. Now, pure devotees aren't attached to the secondary attributes. They're attached to pleasing Krishna. Right? So, but the neophyte is attached to the secondary attributes specifically. They like wealth or position or power or beauty or fame or something, right? And so then that's a problem. Now, understanding it's a problem with your intelligence, recognizing that that's not an advanced position and not trying to make excuses for it, then trying to see, well, is there some way by seeing the principle of it and connecting that principle to Krishna, even though the secondary form is going to be to please me, not Krishna. Right? Then it's going to, you're going to progress, because there is some connection to Krishna. But it's indirect, it's not direct. So indirect connections will give you liberation. Direct will give you prema. But direct means it has to be about Krishna, for Krishna. Pleasing to Krishna, what Krishna actually likes. Does that make sense? You know, and the focus is that primary, that desire to please Krishna exclusively, that's the prominent. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna. The question is not in the same vein, but I was just reading yesterday how in the spiritual, the name and the form are the same.
Yes.
The name is the form, but it's for us. It's inconceivable. But of course, I'm trying to conceive it. How can the name be the form? Is there any example or something that can
example of how we could see?
Oh. Because it's inconceivable, is there an example, or we just have to accept it as inconceivable? Or is there some way we can...
Okay, it's a matter of realization, because Krishna means the name is Krishna. So in the name is the name, the form, the qualities, the pastimes, the associates, paraphernalia, dom, everything. But according to how we're surrendered to the name, that's how he'll reciprocate. So... in the first stage, then we know the name. So when we hear Hare Krishna, then we know, okay, that's Krishna's name. That's the holy name. So we can recognize, and we know that's Krishna. And so then Krishna reciprocates as the name. So then we may, if we focus on that, start to develop a taste for the name, you know, an attraction for the name, like this. So as this progresses, as we become more absorbed, then we see is that the name... when we hear the name, it reminds us of a form. You know, just like if I say Radha Madhava, it's not a name to you, it's a form. But let's say I go to somebody who's never seen, I say Radha Madhava, it's a name only. Does that make sense? So in the same way, as then as we progress and we appreciate the qualities, then the name means the qualities. So then if I say, again, Radha Madhava, then it'll be... the form of Radha Madhava and the particular qualities and that they have, the particular moods or the looks or, you know, different aspects that you may appreciate. As we advance more, then that will mean the pastimes. So then if you say Radha Madhava, it'll mean the pastimes. Does that make sense? And then it expands, it includes the devotees, it includes the paraphernalia, things like that. So it's just a matter, as we advance, we start to see the name includes all that. Because it already does, it's just a matter he reveals to us. So it's not about, we have to be careful that it's not that our chanting of the name creates the name. No, the name's the name. And so as we recognize and as we surrender, then he reciprocates. Because if it's only if I chant purely, then you have a pure name. Right? And if I don't chant purely, the name's not pure. Then where's the meaning of offense? Because if I'm chanting impure and it's not the name, then why would there be an offense? Like if I chant table inattentively, is there an offense? Right? So that's the whole point, is because the name is Krishna. So when we chant, if we're inattentive or committing offenses like this, it's because it upsets the name who is Krishna. Right? But since all there is Krishna, there's no alternative for rectifying that position other than continuing chanting. So Namabhas means we've received the name, but we don't actually see the name as Krishna. So therefore then, Namabhas is that form of Krishna where there is that light, it does purify. So the heart becomes purified. Why don't we see as Krishna? Because we see his energy as something to enjoy separate. So as we become purified, we start to see like that less and less. And by association with, you know, the pastimes of the Lord in the scriptures and with the devotees and seeing their example, then we start to get attracted to that, because our attraction to the material energy is becoming less, so now we can afford to be attracted to the spiritual. Right? Because if we're 100% attracted to the material, there's no space for... So that's why we see before with the question, the demon, he's totally attracted to material energy, so attraction to Krishna doesn't come up. But now the devotee, the potential devotee, you know, with the Jnata Sukriti, he's starting to see material energy isn't that great. So he has attachment to the material energy, but it's not that great. So there's a window for an attachment to Krishna to come. So he comes in contact with devotees, he hears the kirtan, takes prasad, and he gets attracted to that. Though it's small compared to the other. The material attraction. But as we continue to chant a Namabhas, the heart becomes purified. And this knowledge and detachment comes. So we have more knowledge of what actually is going on. That this is Krishna and that material energy can't give us what we're looking for. And we start to become detached. We're not attached to the results of the material energy. And from the devotional influence that we get from the parampara and the devotees, then we start to see as well, I can offer this to Krishna. So then the positive means just by the chanting we're beginning purified by the Namabhas, but at the same time we're cultivating the pure devotion, because Shuddha Nam will give us prema. Right? So there are those moments, but we don't call it Shuddha Nam until it's constant. So let's say the person comes into the temple, the kirtan's going very nice, and they somehow or another become very absorbed and just absorbed in hearing and chanting. They're chanting the pure name. That's why they're getting that flavor, that effect. But when it's over, and someone mentions, you know, hey, you know, what about this? And then they may go back to kind of materially or mixed consciousness. But the point is that pure name is they move forward. So that will be more dynamic. In other words, I can chant for a year, you know, without really being attentive or that, in Namabhas. And, you know, it's nice. It's and, you know, you're chanting for a year means there's some commitment, there's some taste there. But let's say there's that one kirtan that I just mentioned, that you can immediately remember. That will inspire you to go to another such kirtan. Because there's taste. That's actually on the pure devotee. So that has more. So the one's removing. The one is never forget Krishna. And the other one is always remember. So it's bringing you forward to always remembering. The other one is removing the impurity so you stop forgetting him. So the more I stop forgetting, the more I'm open to remembering. So that's why both have to be done. So yama and niyama. You know, so I'm using the secondary, but it's about the primary. Does that make sense? So then in that way, it's a very dynamic and perfect process. That's the thing, it's so scientific. But at the same time, it's just so simple and easily accessible for everyone. That's what's confusing about especially the Gaudiya philosophy. Vaishnavism in general, but especially the Gaudiya, is that It is more scientific than any other philosophy, even the other Vaishnava philosophies. But at the same time, it's so much more simple and accessible than even the others. It's the most wonderful. So one can take it that, oh, they're just a bunch of simpletons, no philosophy, and I have knowledge, and I'm so much more sophisticated. When actually, no, it's way beyond anything you can conceive of. That's the beauty of it. It's so wonderful. And the wonderfulness, if that's appreciated, why get into the science side? But when it's not, we're having discussion, then we get into the science. So that's what the discussions are about. Is it's like you see the Goswamis. Now, they'll sit down, they'll discuss the pastimes of the Lord because they don't have anything distracting them from that. We sit down, same environment and all that, we'll discuss about the technicalities because otherwise we get distracted. So the pastimes would be presented, people are very absorbed and very nice, but if something's wrong, the mood's wrong, someone asks a funny question, you have to get back into the science to bring it to the proper position. Does that work? Is that okay? Okay.
I can understand when we connect with Krishna, then of course the revelation, you can understand by revelation, but in the spiritual world itself, they have objects and they have names.
Yes.
So how did, when they say the name is the object,
it is the object, but at the same time is, because it's the name, it's not the original object. It has that aspect. It means you have, it's like, so you have cause and effect. So now the cause and its effect are non-different. You know, like the example of a clay pot and clay. They're non-different. They're both clay. They're both earth. But at the same time, if there's not a difference, why give it a different identification? So therefore, the clay and the pot are non-different, but what you can do with the pot is slightly different than what you do with the clay. Right? Does that make sense? So the name of Krishna is Krishna, but, and you'll get all the effect of his name, form, qualities, pastimes, and everything, but at the same time, you won't get the experience of dealing with the original form. That you'll get in Sambhog. So even though they're non-different, it's still, there's a slight difference in flavor. That's just how it is. Does that make sense? Like Krishna and Balaram are non-different, but there's a slight difference in flavor. You know? So that's what you're dealing with, is that they're the same, but they're different. So then the devotees, by remembering Krishna and chanting his name, they can always be absorbed in Krishna. So when you say the Vrajabasis aren't separated from Krishna, they're not. But it doesn't mean they're not feeling separation. Like that. Does that make sense? And then when they're with Krishna, so they never forget Krishna, but there's always that back and forth because there's a taste in going between the two. If it's only the one, it's a wonderful flavor, but it's enhanced by the two. Just like Krishna's Atmarama is wonderful, but when he expands his energies and interacts based on rasa, it enhances that. So in the same way, Sambhog is wonderful, but when there's Vipralamba, it makes it more wonderful. So of the two, then the name and all these things, the things that support, they're there to increase the flavor of being with Krishna. So Vipralamba is to increase the flavor of Sambhog, not the other way around. The Sambhog will increase the flavor of Vipralamba, but that's not the point. Because it's increased at Vipralamba, that will make the Sambhog better. So in other words, it's always the Sambhog is increasing. That's the main point. The secondary is the Vipralambas are increasing. But they're non-different. So that's why Krishna's there and he's not there. In his Prakat pastimes, you'll see when he goes to Mathura, he's not there. But in the Aprakat, he's there. So that means he's eternally. But you'll see even within those, there'll be in the mornings he's with Mother Jashoda. Then he'll go out to the cowherd field. He's not. Then he'll come back and be with them. Like that. He'll be with the gopis and then he's not with them. You understand? You'll have all those aspects. So it just enhances the flavor. So in other words, if your sitting mother just showed his house with Krishna as the cowherd boys or the young cowherd girls, then it's nice and it's ecstatic, but you're longing for being with him out in the fields. Right? In other words, the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls want to go out into the cowherd pastures. Right? The boys will go out and play their games like that, and then Krishna will sneak off and then go with the gopis and play with them. But the point is happening out in the cowherd pastures. Does that make sense?
Yes, wonderful. But about an object that's not Krishna in the spiritual world.
But it's connected to Krishna. You see it connected to Krishna. Because it's connected to Krishna, then it'll always remind you of Krishna. And how it can be interactive with Krishna. That's the point. When they're feeling separation, what does Krishna recommend to the gopis? That you see me in everything. Right? So we'll take it as that, oh, that's a low-level Brahman realization. But it's actually a very high-level personal realization. It can be used. It means, in other words, it being the highest in the material world, it's the lowest. You know? As far as the spiritual things go. So it'll be farther down on the one, but it has the other. So the point is they're able to see everything. It's all Krishna. And so for them, Krishna means the person. So even they see a blade of grass, but then that blade of grass, Krishna stepped on it, the person. And so then they'll remember how he'll walk and how he'll do and how he played his flute and how he's dressing. So just that blade of grass reminds them of Krishna because it's all Krishna. So everything reminds him of that. So that's their position.
Everything is actually personal. Everything is a personal.
Everything's personal. There's no such. The impersonal is a feature of the personal. It's not a separate thing. The personal is the main. Then a feature of personal is impersonal. Because if you didn't, how do you have generic? Like I say, the forest of Vrindavan. That means it's generically the trees. It's not a personal thing about the trees, but if I say Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumara, now I'm talking about a specific tree. Now I'll say, well, that's Madhavendra Puri. Right? But otherwise, it's just generic. So when I say devotees, that's generic. That's the impersonal. But it doesn't mean that the impersonal isn't a feature of the personal, because if I say devotees, it's just generic, but it's all individuals who are personal. So it just makes for reference. In other words, these are useful in the situation. Because then when you apply it, it has to be individuals. But the generic situation in which you function, right, the jnana shakti, then that is defining that devotion, that pure devotion, whether it's sweetness or whether it's in Aishwarya or, you know, what kind of situations you're in. Or, you know, your mother just showed his house. That's a situation. That's impersonal. Mother just showed his birds, but the point is the house is that. Then it's used in action. So now they're in this room bathing Krishna, or they're in this room cooking for Krishna, or in this room now feeding Krishna, or Krishna goes here to take his rest. You know, then it takes on that. That's the activity. And then what's that for? So that's the kriya. Then all that is just to please Krishna, the person. That's the icha. So everything's just about pleasing Krishna. That's the whole point. But you have to have that generic aspect. So the impersonal is just a feature of the Lord, of the personal. So if we see it like that, it just reminds us of the personal. That's why Prabhupada makes the point of exclusive monism. That's bogus, because there is no such thing. Monism, yes, because Krishna is one entity, non-dual, because it's all him, but at the same time as you can still tell the difference between him and his energies. You know, and the energies of his energies and energy like this, you can still tell the difference. But it's all one. So that's the whole point, is that oneness is that person. And so being that supreme, wonderful person, then when we see everything in connection to him, we're absorbed on the highest level. So this platform of knowledge is used in the beginning as jnana yoga, to connect things that, using our intelligence, we'll see it connected to Krishna, So when our mind wants to use the intelligence to find sense gratification, there's already too much knowledge. You know? Like one Gurukul boy was saying, I know too much to enjoy the material world, but I'm not surrendered enough to actually enjoy Krishna consciousness. You know? So that knowledge then makes it that you see it connected to Krishna. Right? And so then you'll be purified and uplifted. So that's on this side of the purification. But when it gets into the positive of the devotion, then seeing everything connected to Krishna. Connected with the light. Someone turned off the light. Did someone come out of the room and turn off the light? Oh, okay, they want to let us know that it's over time, yeah. Because, yeah, like that. Because people want to see the camera just go back and forth between the crowd coming in and Prabhupada and then the like that, yeah. Okay. Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi.